chicken and dumplings and chicken and noodles or something. So don't forget that, ladies. And we want all the ladies to come that want to come and invite you a friend or two or your neighbor or whoever and just have a great time, okay? The church will provide all the stuff to make the noodles and different things, and so it ought to be fun. Don't forget, May the 30th, I think it's the 30th, yeah, May the 30th at 6:30, there will be a meeting here. The leadership of Washington Osage Association of Baptist Churches wanted to have a meeting with me. I can't tell you. They said they wanted to understand what happened so they could make a public statement about the drag queen thing. So I don't know if they're coming here to, I don't know what they're coming here for. But they said I could have a person from the church with me there if I wanted to, because they would like to talk to people from the church. So I just invited the whole church, okay? So I didn't want them to think I cherry-picked a friend or something. So we'll see. 6:30 in the fellowship hall. I think that's all the announcements. Now I want to show you something that I think's hilarious. But I want to show you how easy it is to be confused, right? So yesterday I went to United Grocery Store, and I think I got this on. Yeah. I needed to buy a couple of cards for some seniors so I could put my gift in it. And so I went to United to get a graduation little card. I got two. I got up there to the checkout. Now, at United, I used to know everybody. You know, at United, they would work there 40 years, you know, and then retire and stuff. Now, every time you go in there, there's a different person. Well, this little lady, I'd never met her before, and she was clearly Hispanic, okay? Now, unlike the stories going around, I am not racist, you know, but you can clearly see she's Hispanic, and from her dialect or accent, right? You know, you can tell I'm a hillbilly from my accent, you could tell. So anyway, on her name tag, it said that. Now, I never seen that name before. And so I was just trying to be nice, and I paid for my cards. And she said, Senor, we'd also have flowers for graduation if you would need those. And I said, ah, no. I said, these are the, one of them's for a boy. He don't need no flowers. And the other one's for my niece's daughter. She's in Florida. I don't need any flowers. But I said, how do you say your name? She said, what? I said, what do you think it is? I mean, what do you think it is? I said, is it ooh-ooh? Or is it just ooh? She said, what? I said, your name. I'm just trying to figure out how to say your name. I said, is that Hispanic? She said, I do not understand. I said, do you pronounce it ooh ooh or just ooh? She said, Senor, my name is Lily. I said, Lily? I said, because I can't stop, right, because I'm so stupid. I said, famous last words, you know. I said, how in the cat here do you get Lily out of UU? She clips it off and sticks it over there for Mr. Magoo, and it actually was like this. Yeah, Pam, loud, get it out of your system. And that's what it actually was, but I couldn't see it very good. So anyway, it's easy to get tripped up. So here we are. I said, oh, Lily. She said, yeah, I like the flower. I said, okay. Anyway, I just thought that was hilarious. All right, so we're in Jude, part 7. I'm not trying to tell you that I'm flawless or that I can't make a mistake, but I think we have interpreted this book in a different way than anyone else has ever. I can't find anybody else that even comes to even think about what I'm trying to teach you. So we're just going to start Jude chapter 1, verse 1. And we want to start over on this ideal. So there's some theologians on both sides of the story, okay? Some people say that this Jude is most definitely the half-brother of Jesus, but there's no proof for that, except Jesus had a brother named Jude, okay? He also had a brother named James. Those were very common names. All three, Jesus, Jude, and James, okay? Now, Jude is also Judas, which is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Judah. So when you read the name Judas, you're reading Judah, praise, and that's also Jude, okay? I don't think he's the half-brother of Jesus, and I don't think it's enough proof that he has a brother named James. But it doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit writes the book or we're all in trouble, right? So Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Okay, just an introduction. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Just a sweet little... Now this is where the book starts. So Jude says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation... So he says, I just wanted to write you a really sweet letter about our commonality and our salvation. But this gets real strong. He said it was needful. And in the Greek, it means it was imperative. It had to happen. It was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. So he said, I didn't want to write this. I wanted to write something else. But God impressed me that it was very needful for me to write because you are going to come into a situation where you're going to have to fight to keep your faith, to believe what you once believed. Okay? There's no mention of fighting for your salvation. It's fighting for the faith. And we've talked about that. This is the seventh study we've had on this book. He says, which this faith was once delivered unto the saints. Look at verse 4. Here is the problem. For there are certain men crept in unaware. Okay, so they've crept into where? Into the churches. Into the faith. Okay? And they've crept in unaware. We pointed this out before, but we have visitors tonight. Notice, there ain't no women. Now, that's not to say that women don't creep into church and cause trouble. But in this particular situation, he says, all of these men that crept into these churches that he's going to focus on are all men. I think that's strange. Unless he's not talking about human men, but spiritual men. All angels are men, whether you like it or not. All angels are men. In the Bible, they all, when they manifest on this earth, they all look like men. There are no women angels. They're all named men's names. For example, God is a male gender. Now, don't worry about that. That's just fun. Now, if you read the book Shack or if you watched the movie The Shack, that writer portrays the Holy Spirit as a Aunt Jemima black lady. That's blasphemy, okay? Now, I know all about the Hebrew, the Greek, in some cases, the Holy Spirit is spoken of in a neutered sense. I understand all that. But that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is neutered. A lot of times you can have a situation where, for example, if Tim and John and Richard went outside and I said those men went outside, that'd be in a masculine form. If I said they went outside, if you saw them go outside, you would know they were all three men. And as far as I know, they all three identify as men. You would know if I said those men went outside, that's in a masculine form. If I just said they went outside, that's neutered. Because they, it could have been three women. You understand? So anyway, whatever this problem is, it's men. Okay? I think that's a nugget. Okay? I'll show you why. So they've crept in unawares to primarily what he's talking about, the church. These epistles are written to churches. Now these men that crept in, you got to get this. They were, who were before? Well, before what? Before of old. In the Greek it says they were from time past. Well, that's not wrong in the King James. That's exactly what that means. They were before of old. But nobody catches it. Because all they talk about, this book is known, the book of Acts is known as the Acts of the Apostles. And the book of Jude, a bunch of Bible teachers, they always say, it's the Acts of the Apostates. And it's true that there are people who are apostate, and it is true that there are people that come into churches just to cause trouble. That's true. But I don't think that's what this book is talking about. I think this book is talking about you got to watch out for people in your church who are led and inspired and taught and do the bidding for ancient evil spirits. Every person you've ever met, every person who's ever lived has been inspired, led, informed, sometimes encouraged, discouraged by spirits. There are evil spirits. They are ancient. There are the human being's own spirit. You have to deal with that. You have a spirit as well. And then there's God's spirit. Now, you can listen to any spirit. Matter of fact, if you're just minding your own business and you're not even thinking about something and you hear something in your spirit in the form of words, that's a spirit communicating with you through language. Now, if you just have a feeling or something, that can be something else. We could talk about that at a different time. But if you get a word, that's a spirit. Could be God's spirit, could be your own spirit, could be evil spirits. This book is about look out for people that will allow evil spirits to do their evil work through them. And that's what happens. These spirits do the same thing over and over and over again throughout history. He says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. So these spirits are ordained by God for this condemnation. Okay? What is it? Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Okay? Right? Anybody else want to take a try except Sally? And we found out what that meant. What does that mean, class? It means filthy lust. It doesn't mean lusting after God or something. And most of the time in a sexual way, okay? Well, evil spirits are very lustful and evil, but they don't have a body. So they got to have a body to carry out their lust, no matter what it is. There are no kids in here, you know, most of all of us are adults. But let's don't go the sexual route, but most of the time it's sexual. I'll just say that. But let's say there's an evil spirit of gluttony. Well, that evil spirit can't eat. It's a spirit. The Bible says spirits are like wind. You don't know where it come from, but you can feel it. It's like the wind. You don't know where it come from. That's not to say you can't feel it. Also, that's not to say you can't see the results of it. For example, nobody's ever seen a tornado. Yet a lot of people have seen tornadoes. But technically, they haven't seen a tornado. Because a tornado is wind. Now, you might see the debris it picks up. You might see the circulation. You can't see the circulation unless it's picking up dust or cars or houses or trees. So evil spirits can't eat. So if you have an evil spirit that's gluttonous, they got to get you to eat. And I'm not real sure, but I think one was in our house last night. I thought about rebuking it, but I wanted to wait until after, you know, I had my malt or whatever. I just, you know, I try to do everything from this office right here. And I just want to tell you. So me and Peggy's been married a year and a half. We've got a couple here that's going to get married Saturday. And on behalf of them, we invite you all to come. Potluck, bring something to eat. But after a year and a half, Dane, I went and I got us a bunch of snacks because we didn't have no snacks in that house. And I got her a big deal of chocolate chip cookies and a big deal of fudge graham cracker cookies. And I got me a little deal of Dollar General graham cracker with peanut and fudge, okay? So it's got three compartments. And Dollar General, most of their stuff's terrible, but their cookies are pretty good, really. And so one night I ate one compartment, and the next night I ate the next compartment, and I was saving the third compartment till last night. Well, the day before, Peggy said, "You know, sweetie, I really don't like peanut butter like on my cookies." And I said, "Oh, well, that's why I bought them other two big things, you know, for you." She's like, "Oh, well, I just letting you know, I'm not real crazy about them peanut butter fudge." I said, "Well, that's why I bought them other graham cracker fudge things for you and your coffee." She's like, "Oh, okay, thank you." Well, then last night I go in there and I slide it out, and there's supposed to be eight cookies in that bin. There's only two left. I said, what happened to my cookies? She said, I said, "Well, good thing you didn't like them." "But I think it's an evil spirit." I said, "Oh, I'd say this, because it's happened to me my whole life. I had two sons, and since they was old enough to talk, I would take them to a store. I would say, 'Okay, whatever kind of cereal you like, Daddy is going to buy you the biggest box of cereal you like.' And then the other one, 'Whatever kind of cereal you like, Daddy's going to buy you.' And then Daddy's going to get, you know, a little box, right? Well, I like Cocoa Pebbles. And those two demons would get stuff they knew I did not like Raisin Bran. I'm a fat guy, but I've never been so poor or hungry to eat Raisin Bran. And something, you know, like. And then those little devils would eat all of the Cocoa Pebbles till it was totally gone, and then all we'd have is those. And I would try to reason with them. why did you ask for this and then eat all mine? You know, of course, they just grin or whatever. Because working through them was an evil spirit. Now, you laugh all you want. People like to throw this up, you know. Well, the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. And it's all spiritual, and you need to get real spiritual. Let me tell you something. Everything is spiritual. Every moment of every day of your life is spiritual. You're a spirit. You have a body. You are not a body. You have a body. Everything you experience is spiritual. But every spiritual battle manifests itself in the flesh. If it's a spiritual, pure spiritual battle, you won't know anything about it. Go to the book of Daniel. Daniel's praying, God doesn't answer. For 21 days, God doesn't answer Daniel. Daniel can't figure it out. The archangel Gabriel gets there. He says, Daniel, God sent me with your answer the day you prayed. But I got held up in the heavenlies with these evil spirits. And I've been battling these evil spirits that are over parts of the world, nations, for 21 days. He said, finally, I sent for reinforcements, and God sent the archangel Michael. Here's your answer, Daniel, because I've got to get back in the fight because we know some more evil spirits are coming. Daniel didn't have a clue what was going on. That in the heavenlies, in the spirit realm, was this colossal battle over him and his prayer and his life. But you can bet your bottom dollar it was evil spirits that put him in the lion's den. But it wasn't a spiritual lion's den. It was a real lion's den because the spirits manifested and got human beings to do their bidding. And the king gets tricked into some kind of a decree that winds Daniel in a real live den with real live lions. Now, was that spiritual? You better believe it was. But it manifested in the flesh with real live lions. So, these men, there were before of old. The word is ancient. What do you think, there's ancient men coming into churches? No, but there are ancient men in the form of evil spirits. They're ordained to this condemnation. They're ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into that filthy lust and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 5. We got to hurry. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. He just uses that for an example. He said, you better contend for the faith. Because there's evil spirits coming in trying to destroy your churches. And don't you be the one that does it. Because don't you remember? The apple of God's eye is Israel. And he brought them out of Egypt. And he got them out in the desert. And then he killed them. So he's using it as an example. You're going to be under the same condemnation as these old ancient men, evil spirits, if you allow them to use you like the ones that didn't believe in the desert of Egypt. That's just an example. Watch this. And the angels. Example number two. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. They left where they were living. They manifested on the earth. They cohabitated with women. God destroyed them. He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. They are in hell now in a place called Tartarus. It's the deepest, darkest dungeon of hell. It's reserved for them. Now, how do you chain up spirits? I guess with spirit chains. I don't know, but the Bible says darkness. Example number two. Now, example number three. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. What's that? Homosexuality. Are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, I've said this before. I've got several teachings on it. I don't think the only thing they were doing was homosexuality. But homosexuality was an indication of their depths of sin. Homosexuality is not the unpardonable sin. It is an indication of where you are as a nation. Not that there's homosexuals. There's homosexuals since the beginning of time. It's when a civilization celebrates it, normalizes it. The next thing, and God, anytime a civilization went to the next step, he annihilates them in the history of the world. The next thing's children. I've been saying for 30 years, that's the whole agenda. Now it's coming true. But you can't stand up in a pulpit and say it. They'll crucify you. Target has this line of clothing called Pride. They just put out for summer what they call their LGBTQ affirming swimsuits for children and kids, babies. For the little boys that they've groomed into thinking they're little girls, get this. You can Google it. I mean, I am really stupid. I'm the one that said, "Is your name Ooh-Ooh?" But I ain't this stupid to stand up here and tell you something you couldn't prove. For the little boys, they have female two-piece swim outfits, and they're called tuckers. So they can tuck away their boyness and hide it. They also have clothing for little girls that are compression shirts in the top to keep their young ladyhood from showing. Target. Now, where are you at? You know, everybody likes to look down their nose at Lot because he stayed in Sodom. Well, where are we at? We live in a city that has the only drag queen buffalo on Main Street. Well, you know, before you look down your nose, the Bible says he was righteous, and it vexed his righteous soul, the things that happened. Is your soul vexed? The Bible says that he was just. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. So he gives the example of Sodom and Gomorrah, and like I said, I know they were homosexuals. They were what is today coming very prominent. It's called militant homosexuals. Okay? The woman that was transing to a man who went into that Christian school in Tennessee and killed 6 people, 3 of them being 9-year-old children. She came there to kill the pastor. But she couldn't find him, so she found his daughter. She's in a group of militant transgenders. Likewise, also, these filthy dreamers I think the sin of Sodom went past homosexual. I think they had figured out how to manipulate the blood system in the DNA of those people that they could live almost forever. I mean, that's really what happened in the flood, right? I mean, God doesn't go around just burning cities with queers in it. And before you get all upset, LGBTQ, Q is queer. That's what they call themselves. They like it. You know they have a deal called LGBTQF. You know what the F's for? Faith. Well, tonight you're going to see that these people are real religious. That don't mean they're not religious. The Antichrist is going to be real religious, if you're just talking religious. Probably from a church. Bill Clinton's a Southern Baptist. You know, I can't hardly sleep at night because I'm afraid the Washington Osage County Association is going to try to kick us out of the association. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers, they defile the flesh. Well, isn't that the definition of what an evil spirit does? Now, there are great theologians with a lot more letters after their name than I have. They'll tell you that a born-again Christian cannot be possessed of the devil. I don't know if that's true. Because an evil spirit does not possess your spirit. It possesses your... An evil spirit does not care anything about your spirit. It wants to possess your body. And when you got saved and born again, nothing changed in your body. If you knelt down and prayed that prayer when you stood up, if you knelt down, if you were fat, you were fat when you stood up. If you were ugly when you knelt down and prayed that prayer, you were still ugly when you got up. If you were bald-headed, fill in the blank. But your dead spirit was quickened to life. And now the spirit within you should be communing with the Holy Spirit and changing the action of the body. But that body, it's got a brain of its own. Likewise also these filthy dreamers, they defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Now, almost every commentary you read will say, the big sin Jude's talking about is that Christians need to obey their politicians. And I'm here to tell you, that is so far away from what he's trying to say. If you go back to verse 8, thank you, Tim, that word dominion means the one that has the ultimate dominion, that's God. Listen, if you really, really, really think that the God that created the universe demands you to be in subjection to the politicians of the United States of America in the most loving Christian charity way I can say it, you probably need to go to another church. If I don't offend you tonight and you come back Sunday, do you know the state of Washington just passed a bill to go along with, I believe, 6 or 7 other states to become safe havens for children that want to transgender to another gender? And if they can get across the Washington state line, along with Michigan, California, New Mexico, there's about 7 of them, then the parents have no rights. If your child is a child and it runs away from home, and it gets across the lines, the state of Washington, along with California, Michigan, I'm just picking on Washington because they just passed it, they'll put them in foster care. Who do you think they're going to place them with? And they'll pay for everything for them. All of the hormonal treatments, all of the, even to the operation, and a parent cannot cross the line and get their children by law. Also, the governor of that great state was worried about a law that got passed in Texas to ban the abortion pill, so he ordered 3-year supply. Stop a minute. I think I'm going to preach on it Sunday morning. Since when does the state government, Now listen, the state government doesn't have any money. The state government is not an entity that makes money. They take money. The federal government does not have any money at all. They just have our money. Since when does a state have the right to take taxpayer money and buy any pill? I'm not talking about an abortion pill that they give away for free. I'm talking about any pill, an aspirin. Well, where are you at? You're in a very evil, evil place, man. Watch this. Likewise also, they despise God's dominion. That is not talking about Joe Biden. And speak evil of dignities. Well, God has a pecking order. There's a pecking order in heaven. The devil was created the anointed cherub that covered the other four cherubs. There's four cherubs up there that's in a pecking order. The Archangel Michael is in an angel class. He's way down the pecking order. These are dignities. Well, these evil spirits, they don't have no problem bad-mouthing God. And if you're in the Sunday school class, you've seen it over and over. That's what those people, that's why they got put in that list, that God destroyed them in the desert, because they don't have any problem at all making salacious claims against God. They said, God, you brought us out here to kill us and our children. God said, out of your own mouth, you're going to die, but your kids won't. Over and over and over they said, God brought us, I wish to God, would to God we was in Egypt. Well, who do you think gave them that ideal? You know, we read it in Sunday school, and I got a great Sunday school, and the ladies have a better. But we sit there and bounce it off each other, and we say, I can't believe these people. What is wrong with these people? What is wrong with us? Now, one thing you need to know, they didn't all go that way. They didn't all speak against God. Some of them believed God. So God always has a remnant. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers, they defile the flesh. That's what the evil spirits do. They despise dominions and they speak evil of dignities. That is not talking about your governor. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Most people want to talk about the fact that they didn't know that they had a fight over the body. That was just thrown in there. That's not the subject of the verse. The subject of the verse is that the archangel Michael didn't make a railing accusation against the devil when he had every right to, but he wouldn't. Watch this. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Now this is where we're going to be tonight. So here we are. That's the introduction, and I got 20 minutes left. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. That's what we're on tonight. And ran greedily after the error of Balaam. That'll be Sunday night. Well, what is the way of Cain? We're going to look at it tonight. What is the error of Balaam Sunday night? For reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Now, Korah, we just talked about in Sunday school for the last 2 weeks. We'll be on it again this week. You know, Korah is the guy that was speaking evil against the high priest and Moses. And Korah got a whole group of people. He influenced a whole group of people. He wanted to be the high priest. He already was a Kohath. He already had the highest honor of any Levite clan, that he got to move the most holy things. The menorah, the table of showbread, the altar of incense, and the Ark of the Covenant. That was the most honored thing, and that's what Moses said. Did you think it was a light thing? What God had honored you and gave your clan? Yet you wanted to be a high priest. Well, there can't be but one high priest. Now, they had legitimate gripes because the high priest was Aaron, and he was pitiful. But God chose him. Watch. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. What does that mean? Well, if you need rain, you see a cloud and you don't get any rain, that's a letdown. That's a cloud that was useless. If you have a fruit tree, you don't get no fruit off of it. That's useless. That's like a faith healer that wears glasses. People are so stupid. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Okay? So, here we go. Look at 2 Peter real quick, chapter 2. And 2 Peter says almost the same thing as Jude. I don't know if Jude is reading Peter's work or Peter reading Jude. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Kind of sounds the same thing, doesn't it? And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceiving while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart, they have exercised with covetous practice, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam and the son of Beor, who loved the wages of a righteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantingness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. It's sort of the same declaration there. So, tonight, the way of Cain. The Bible starts with two people in a garden. And the story shows us the basic minimum for a moral being. There's something forbidden, but the freedom to take it. The first question in the first story is, will you trust God? And that question is over and over and over from Genesis to Revelation. Will you trust God? Well, I know God says to do this, but will you trust Him? So God has this church, for whatever reason, on this topic of envy. The story of Miriam, Moses' sister, she was envious. Her and his brother Aaron were both envious. And we talked about Miriam. She probably said, if it wasn't for me, Moses would be dead. Miriam's the one that put him in a little basket. Miriam's the one that kept him till the daughter of Pharaoh was walking down there to take a bath. Miriam's the one orchestrated it all and then shoved him out there for the daughter of Pharaoh to see. Miriam was the little Hebrew girl that was standing there when the daughter of Pharaoh said, oh, look, a little Hebrew baby. I wish I could take it and save it, but I couldn't breastfeed it. It was Miriam that said, hey, I know a Hebrew woman that could breastfeed it for you. And Pharaoh's daughter said, oh, do you know a Hebrew woman that would breastfeed this baby for me? Miriam said, "Oh, yeah, yeah, I know one. Yeah, her mother. It's the baby's mother." And the daughter of Pharaoh said, "I would pay her." You know how many hundreds, maybe thousands of other baby boys were slaughtered and thrown in that river? From an edict coming from the Pharaoh. But one family trusted God. One family said, "Hey, we're going to spit in the face of this dignity, this so-called God called Pharaoh." Well, maybe they didn't have the book of Jude yet. Oh, come on, man. They said, "We'll put him in the river, but we'll put him in an ark." You know what the Bible says? The Bible says they took that ark and they pitched it within and without. Does that remind you of another ark? And it worked out perfectly. But you got to give God something to bless. You got to be bold enough to fly in the face of evil. It ain't easy. It was a mandate from Pharaoh to kill that baby. But they decided, let's try to save it and give God an opportunity to bless us. You know, the rest of them, they just cut their baby's throats, threw them in the river, and said, "Where is God?" It's like many people I meet all the time. "Where's God? I can't find a job." Well, have you put your application in someplace? No. Well, you got to give God something to bless. Well, what can you do? Nothing. Well, they're hiring at every place I go. And I guarantee you, if you're breathing, you can work at Lowe's. Well, I don't want to work there. I tell people all the time, the Walmart distribution out there, they pay well. They got different times you can work. I don't want to work out there. I just quit talking to them. I said, "Leave me alone, man. Can you cook a burger?" Do you know, you used to say, "Can you flip a burger?" Do you know McDonald's don't flip them no more? They nuke them in a tray. Surely you can run a microwave. So there's Miriam, there's Aaron. They were envious of Moses. The story of Korah, it's all about envy. The 250 Levites that got their own incense, they were envious of Aaron. Sunday morning, I preached that message. It's great. Mother's Day message, Dane, is a typical Mother's Day message entitled "Women Are Crazy, Men Are Clueless." And it was the great story that most people preach about Hannah. And I went through the story of Elkanah, her husband. His name meant ordained of God. Hannah meant favored of the Lord. And Eli meant lofty one. And Eli's sons, they meant a pugilist fighter, fist fighter, and the other one meant the mouth of the devil. But the one I wanted to talk about was Peninnah. Peninnah was the evil witch, crazy woman. And what I said was, Hannah was crazy about her husband and crazy about the Lord. All women are crazy. God designed you that way. But he designed you that way that you could be crazy about him. You could be all in on your husband and your family. Well, Hannah was crazy for the Lord, and Peninnah was just crazy evil. And so when I was looking up all their names, I looked her name up, and it meant pearl. And I thought, well, that ain't going to preach. That don't mean nothing. And I just kept thinking about it. I was like, well, I was wanting to give the explanation for all their names, but that's going to be a wet shirt. And then, to be honest with you, I was preaching away, and I seen Brandon leave, and I'm trying to preach, and I'm trying to think, did I say something to upset Brandon? Hey, I'm going to tell you something. It's hard, especially when you're this dumb, to try to keep train of thought to preach, and the whole time you're trying to reverse the tape to see if you said something to upset your friend. And I forgot to tell you about Peninnah. Her name means pearl. And I just sat there at my desk and I thought, well, I don't guess I'll tell about any of them's names because that don't mean nothing. And then I thought, a pearl, why is she named Pearl? Because a pearl's not kosher to a Jew. They wouldn't touch a pearl. And then it hit me. That's exactly her name, because a pearl is a constant irritation. And a pearl is made out of a continuous pain. And since it was Sunday morning, I was going to say pain in the neck. Look at James 3:16. James 3:16, for where envying and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. Now, you don't have to come here and believe the Bible, but I do. And if I believe that, what impact does that have? Envying is not even on most people's list of sins. And if it is, it's way down to bottom. Envying is the cousin to the green-eyed monster jealousy. But, I mean, we don't even, you know. But envying and strife. That's why I quit going to the associational pastors' meetings, because I didn't agree with anything they were doing, so all I would be was be causing strife. That's not right. But if this Bible's true, from envying and from strife comes every evil work. Every evil work? I mean, we could sit here for a few minutes and think about some evil works, and you would be amazed at how you could tie them back in some form to envy and strife. Now, I want to tell you what I think. That envy may be the most powerful temptation we face. I'll show you why. Look at Matthew 27:18. Now, God's just had us on this. Matthew 27:18, talking about Pilate. For he knew that for envy they had delivered Jesus. Now, the Bible says the reason why the high priest delivered Jesus to be crucified was because of envy. If the devil used envy to carry out the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, it must be the most powerful temptation a person can have. Let me show you. Mark 15:10. Mark 15:10 tells you, for he knew, Pilate, that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. Did you know that they crucified Jesus for envy? Well, you got to watch yourself when you start to envy. If envy was used by the devil because it's so powerful, what could he use it to get you to do? Because envying and strife, where that is, there's every evil work. So I got 7 minutes. What's the way of Cain? Look at 1 John 3:10. 1 John 3:10, watch this. In this the children of God are manifest, that the children of the devil. So in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. Now, you can make that for whatever you want, but that's what it says. Now, we've taught on it exhaustively. We're not going to teach on it again tonight. But John said that Cain was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Why did he slay him? Why? Question mark. Because his own works were evil. Now, just stop and try to marinate on that person. Why did Cain kill his brother? Because his works were evil. And his brother's righteous. Well, that's crazy. Look at verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Did Cain hate Abel? Well, how long did Cain hate Abel? Anybody know? Well, as long as he was able. All right, here we go. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Do you love the brethren? Now, not the world. Jesus said, I don't even pray for the world. You know, most ministries are to the world. They should focus on the brethren. We got one message for the lost. That's the gospel. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abides in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Well, what does it mean to lay down your life for somebody that you don't even like? Well, it probably doesn't mean you have to die for them, but your wants and desires may have to die. Sometimes when you desire to straighten them out, you may have to die to that and allow God to straighten them out. So, notice, verse 12, notice. Because his own works were evil. Notice, it doesn't say Cain was evil, nor does it say Abel was righteous. It says his works were righteous. Abel wasn't any more righteous than Cain. But Abel was obedient to what God had told him to do, and Cain was disobedient. There was an offering of grain and different plants and food, but it wasn't to be given on this day. So he's disobedient. But don't think Abel was good. He was just obedient. His works were evil, and his brother's works were righteous. So, the first murder, don't you think this is strange? The very first murder in the Bible is over an offering. Now, most people will tell you, no, it wasn't. That's when the devil killed Adam and Eve. The devil didn't kill Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve killed themselves. He just talked them into it. But he didn't kill anybody. He can't kill you. And whatever you do, don't let him talk you into it. Now, he can talk you into it, or he can talk someone else into killing you. But he can't kill you. You say, well, how do you know he can't kill you? Because you're alive. If he could kill you, he'd kill you the first second he could. I think God is limited to him in that way. He can't kill anybody. But he can sure talk you into it. So, the first murder in the Bible is over an offering. Over an offering? You know, we take up an offering one time a week at this church, Sunday morning. If you want to give, give. If you don't, that's your business. We don't take up an offering on Wednesday night. We don't take up an offering on Sunday night. We take up an offering one time. The church I was at before, Barnesville, they'd take up an offering at a weenie roast. They basically had church just to take up an offering. Now, we don't do that here. God has blessed this church beyond measure. The first murder was over an offering. Think about it. Nobody in the Bible has a relationship with God without a sacrifice, except the modern day church in America. Nowhere in the Bible does anybody have a relationship with God without a sacrifice and an offering, except today. And it can be accepted by God, or it can be considered evil, like in the case of Cain. Notice God spoke directly to Cain. This isn't the only time, or doesn't seem to me, that Cain is blown away that God's talking to him. He's talking to him just like he's a friend, and he's lying to him, so he's not a very good friend. He's very comfortable talking to God. So, hearing God's word did not change Cain's heart. See, some people think they can understand God by studying the Bible, and you can't. The only way you can know God is by obeying God. You can read that book and study that book till the cows come home, but if you're not obedient to what it says, you can never experience God. You may know verses, and you may know their address, and you may be able to find a book in the Bible that quicker than I can, but if you're not obedient to what it says, then you don't know God. So this joker's talking to God. Now, we just celebrated Mother's Day. I just wanted to throw this in. The Jewish tradition, the oral tradition, is that Eve had 33 sons and 23 daughters. Of course, she lived several hundred years, but how would you like to have that, ladies? So real fast, let's go to Genesis 4:1. Notice this. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. She thinks this is the answer to Genesis 3:15, but it wasn't. And she again bare his brother Abel. Notice, she conceived once, she bare twice. They're probably twins. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, you need to underline that sheep there, because I think what he offered was a lamb, and I'm going to prove it. Okay, so it's about a lamb. Now, I believe it was a lamb that God slew when Adam and Eve sinned. God killed it. The first blood on the earth that was shed by God. He killed an animal. He skinned the animal to cover Adam and Eve's naked bodies. Go to Genesis 3:21. Genesis 3:21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now, they made a covering out of fig leaves that covered their nakedness, or their private parts. God made them coats. Now, so God kills an animal, maybe two animals. The ideal is blood was shed, innocent blood was shed for a guilty Adam and Eve. I want to ask you something. What happened to the meat? It's a sad story, because the animals knew God in a special way, and no animal had ever died. And God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day in the garden. God's walking with the animals. When an animal sees God, they're not afraid. They're not scared. They're God's creation as well. Do you know the Bible says all of God's animal creation moans and groans for the redemption of man when God makes it all right, because they fell under the curse because of what Adam and Eve did. They didn't do anything, but they got cursed. So you see this little lamb, he's not afraid of God, and God somehow reaches down there and kills it. And he skins it. And then he sews them clothing. And what happened to the meat? I mean, who thinks about this stuff but Shermer Jacobs? He didn't just leave it there. He didn't just let it spoil. What do you see in the future of the commands from God? They had to eat it all. Do you think they ate it? That's what God told them to do when they got out of Egypt. He said, I want you to kill a lamb. Make sure your family's big enough to eat the whole thing, because you can't take Jesus and throw half of him in the trash. And it's a type of Jesus. And he said, if you don't have enough people in your family to eat a whole lamb, you got to get another family, put another family together. You're to eat it all. You're to consume it. What's one thing to have the blood dripping clothes put on your back and to feel the warmth and the blood running down your back that you know that animal died because of what you done? It's another thing to eat it. I believe that was on the 14th day of the first month of God's calendar. It's called the month of Nisan. And on the 14th day, God killed those animals. That sacrifice was done as a memorial every day on the 14th day of Nisan. And what Cain and Abel are doing is that very memorial. They are grown men. They've done this over and over and over. This one year, Cain don't want to do it. Well, what makes Cain decide he doesn't want to do it? Maybe an evil spirit? Remember when they come out of Egypt, they had the Passover lamb. Then the next year, God said, I want you to do it every year for eternity. The next year, they done it. The third year, they didn't do nothing. For 38 years, they didn't observe the Passover. When Joshua gets ready to take the children of Israel into the promised land after Moses has died, Joshua says, oh, wait a minute. We need to circumcise all of our young guys because we haven't circumcised them since 38 years ago. You know what that means? They never observed the Passover 38 years. What are these people? Just really, really stupid? So, look at Genesis 4. We'll be done. Genesis 4, verse 3. We're going to see this story. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Everybody knows the story, right? Well, maybe you don't. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock. Remember, he tended sheep. And a flock is something that's a sheep herd. It doesn't say like herd, like cattle, right? It's not a calf. What do they call a whole bunch of goats? A what? A what? Oh, I thought it was a disaster. But anyway, flock is sheep, right? And of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Well, whoopity-doo. And the Lord said unto Cain, here's God talking to him. So he hasn't done anything yet. He's getting counseling from God, and it don't work. People come to me for counseling. I try my best. This joker's getting counseling from God, and he wanted to hear it. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Well, It's actually a good counseling technique to ask the person a question to get them to express what actually is their problem. They know what it is, but maybe they haven't expressed it. Well, you don't think God doesn't know what's going on, but he's wanting Cain to express it, right? Then the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why are you mad? What do you have to be mad about? Man, you're in a perfect situation. And why is thy countenance fallen? Why is your lip stuck out? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Do you know what that means? God is telling him, there's a sin offering very available to you. You're not offering this grains and these fruits and stuff because you can't find a lamb. There's a lamb at your front door that you can offer for sin. It's a sin offering. So it wasn't that he didn't have an opportunity to offer it. It was very readily available for him. Okay? Shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. What's it talking about? A lamb. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and he slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? You don't think God knows? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, he doesn't even have a problem lying to the great dominion and dignitary. Watch. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed. Now, I want to say this, and I want to take you on a trip, and you don't have to go if you don't want to, but I think it's very interesting. So, the Bible says, we're going to finish this, that Cain, after he left, he married a woman. You know, and of course the question's always, you know, well, I can't believe in Jesus because nobody can tell me where Cain got his wife, you know. And anyway, we've talked about that and we've taught on that extensively. Anyway, they have a baby. He names his baby Enoch. Okay? This is not the good Enoch. It's what's called in theology the evil Enoch. Okay? But he names him Enoch. He's named Enoch first. So Cain has a son. He names him Enoch. He's known as the evil Enoch or the bad Enoch. Okay? Not the good Enoch that God walked with and then took him away. The Bible says that Cain left, went to a far-off distant country, and built a city and named it after his son. Now, there's only one city that I know of that's named after Enoch. There's one city on the planet. It's possibly the oldest city. They don't have any records of when it started. Now, most people will tell you Damascus is the oldest inhabited city. But this city isn't around that area. This city is way old. They don't even know when it started or who started it. Something cool about this city is it's one of the largest cities on the earth today. And underneath it is a vast network of roads and taverns and caverns and cities and rooms and vines. They archaeologically have found where people lived there. Now, I'm just going to say this because you come out here to hear something crazy anyway, don't you? This city today is called Mexico City. And there are some people that believe that Cain left and he went to Mexico City. You say, how in the world could he get to Mexico City? Well, before the time of Peleg, the Bible says all the land was together. I'm just saying, at least, you know, have an open mind. Your mind works better if it's open like a parachute, right? Just try this on. And did Cain go under the earth to live because of the threat that he was worried about people killing him, hunting him down, killing him? And then, you know, who are these people? You know, well, we've taught on it. Anyway, I want to show you this. Now, after I said that, now I want to read you the rest of these verses to verse 17 and we'll be done. Okay? Here we go. In the light of that, with an open mind, now art thou cursed, this is God speaking, from the earth. Now, isn't that a strange thing to say? Isn't that a strange thing from God to say? You're cursed from the earth. How's he going to get off the earth? Watch. Well, you say, well, it could mean that the curse comes from the earth. Maybe. That's what you want to believe. Which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Remember the story of Korah? Korah and them other two jokers that told Moses they would not come up there. The Bible says that the earth just opened up and swallowed them and everything that pertained to them. And it says they went down alive to the pit. And I left my Sunday school class last week was, did they go to hell or did they go to Abraham's bosom? Now you say, well, they had to go to hell because they were standing up against Moses. Not if they had a sin offering. Okay, enough of that Sunday school. That's for Sunday school people. And we shouldn't even talk about it for the ones that don't go to Sunday school. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. Watch this. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. Well, you say, does that mean in the earth? Or does that just mean, like, we're going to go to Egbert's in Bartlesville? Is that what it means? Well, I don't know. You decide. Work out your own salvation. Watch this. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Oh, poor thing. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day, from the face of the earth. Now you've got three or four incidents that are compiling together. That's a strange thing to say. He doesn't say, you've driven me away from my family. You've driven me away from what's familiar for me. You've made me go someplace that I don't know. He says, you've driven me from the face of the earth. Well, if Cain don't have a spaceship, how's he get off the face of the earth? The only other way I know is to go under it. But I'm not saying it's true. Watch. Remember, I thought it was ooh-ooh. Watch. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. Does that really mean he's going to be hid? Or did it just mean God wasn't going to look at him? Oh, I don't know. Let's see. Let's go on. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond. There he goes again. In the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Now, some people say that God made Cain black. That's ridiculous. Some people say that he just put a letter on him, forehead, like the Antichrist is going to have a mark. Well, that's ridiculous because you could have people like me that can't read letters correctly, you know, and it says, don't kill me or something, and you think it says, kill me or something. I don't know. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And the original name of Mexico City was some kind of a Mayan configuration of Enoch. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Help us get tonight what you have us to get. Don't go the way of Cain to allow envy to control our lives. We don't have any reason to be envious of anyone. If someone else has something we don't, we should be thankful and glad that they're blessed. If we'll keep our eyes on ourselves, then we can't be envious of someone else. Help us to understand the importance of this thing, envy, that it's the very thing that brought about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Help us not to listen to evil spirits, not to be swayed, not to go the way of Cain, not to be downtrodden, not to be upset, not to be wroth when we shouldn't be. Help us. We ask you to bless this church. We ask you to be with Diana tomorrow as she goes to surgery. We ask you to be with Charlotte as she continues to deal with the loss of her husband. So many people in this church. We ask you to be with Paul as he's recovering from his knee surgery. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, folks.